I've learned something in the past weeks that I can preach shorter and yet get the point across, because it's more important that people have time to pray than necessarily that they have time to listen. So I'm not going to be long today. So if that's going to happen, you're going to have to listen closely. When we come to this point in Exodus, the people have gone through a number of things that were going to make them a nation. They had come out of Egypt, and the Bible literally says that that's where they became a nation, the birth of a nation, because they had left Egypt, they have left their slavery, they've gone to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's armies have been swept away, they've come through that, and they have escaped, they have left, they have become a nation, they are now out in the wilderness. The next two events that are to happen that are to make them a nation is that they come to this place that we find, Mount Sinai, and they are receiving God's covenant because they are God's covenantal people. We're going to look at that in a minute. There's a third occasion where this will kind of gel them as a nation because they are going to the promised land. So when we come to this point, we're like at the middle point where they're now in front of Mount Sinai. They're supposed to be God's covenantal people. And it all falls apart. And there are times in life when you see things going along. You see how God is working things out. You even think how you see that God is going to make it happen. And all of a sudden, it just all falls apart. And the question becomes, how are we going to move on from here? Where do I go from here? Do you ask that question? Where do I go from here? I saw a pathway. It led through the Red Sea. You know, it led through the wilderness. It led to Mount Sinai. And boom, we're going to look at what happened there. Boom, it all fell apart. And where do we go from here? How can we reach the promised land when the middle step has fallen apart? How can you reach wherever you're headed as a family, as a person, when what you thought was going to happen has all fallen apart? Could be your marriage, could be your studies, it could be your scholarship, it could be a lot of things. And the question is, does God have a way, and who will help me see that way? Turn back to Exodus chapter 19 for a minute. They had reached the foot of the mountain after 3 months of being away from Egypt, 3 months after they had left Egypt to that very day. And verse 3, Moses went up to God, and he said to him from the mountain, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and holy nations. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And in chapter 24, they have a sacrifice at the foot of that mountain before Moses goes up. And Moses sprinkles the book of the covenant that has all the Ten Commandments and a bunch of other things, a bunch of commands in there, sprinkles the Ten Commandments, sprinkles, not on the tablets, because that is yet to come, sprinkles the people, and then Moses goes up the mountain. Now, do you know why they sprinkled, everything with the blood of a sacrifice? Two things. The Bible tells us that nothing is cleansed without the shedding of blood. That was the blood of the covenant that was to be that which said, this is now for cleansing. Secondly, the idea was if you didn't keep that covenant, that you were to die just like that animal who had died for that blood to be sprinkled. Okay? It was a direct statement when that kind of sacrifice happened. So Moses goes up, the people are waiting for 40 days, Moses is still up there, we don't know what happened to Moses, and they break the first commandment of the covenant, they make a golden calf, they worship the golden calf, Moses is coming down the mountain, he now has the Ten Commandments and the tablets of stone. He hears the people, breaks the tablets, and God's judgment falls on them. The Levites go out. 3,000 of them die by the swords of the Levites who are loyal to God. A plague from God comes. They've broken the covenant. They're paying the consequences. And God goes, and on the mountain, just before Moses comes down, twice God gives Moses an opportunity. Twice God gives Moses an opportunity. The first time is before he comes down the mountain. He says, Moses, listen, these people, I've had it with them. Moses, I want to make you into a nation. We'll get rid of these people. I've had it with them. Probably you have, right? And Moses says, what? Thank God. Let me step back, all right? Go ahead, God. By the way, had this ever happened in history before? When God fed up with people's sinfulness, didn't he not bring it down to one family? What was that name of that one family? Noah. Noah and his family. Wasn't there another time when God brought it down to one family? When God got fed up with all the pagan entities and pagan worship, he brought it down to another man named what? Abraham. Would it have been so unusual for God to have brought it down to one person again, to Moses? How much easier would Moses' life have been? It's a real temptation, huh? You see, but Moses was not looking out for himself. He was looking out for God's reputation. And he said, if you kill these people, it will be said of you that you had enough power to bring them out of Egypt, but you couldn't take them much further than that. I want you to turn back to scripture reading. God makes Moses another offer. He says this, I'll send an angel with you, but my presence will not go with you. In fact, he says to Moses, Moses, I will be with you, but I can't lead these people. If I stay with them, they're not going to make it to the promised land. It'd be better for them if I didn't lead them. I want you to understand, Moses had a personal relationship with God. Remember that while the rest of the nation is mourning what they've just done with God and with his word and the tablets that have been broken and the golden calf and everything that's happened, Moses is meeting every day in a tent with the presence of God. When he's coming out, his face is glowing because God's glory has invaded his very cells. So it's not like Moses is distanced from God. It's that God is saying, look, Moses, I'm giving you another opportunity. I'll lead you. I'll be with you, but I'm not going to lead these people. And what does Moses say? Lord, if you don't lead us, we're not leaving. We are not leaving here without your guidance. He says, listen, how will the other nations know that you are our God? Listen, the presence of God with Israel was very visible. Well, how did God manifest himself? They had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I think about that sometimes. What would it have been like when you had to get up at night to go use the restroom and you walk out the tent and there's God? He's been watching over you while you all have been asleep. That's pretty amazing. No enemy could sneak up on you at night because God was the biggest floodlight, the biggest security light that there ever was. And then as the cloud would move, there was no question where God was leading because that cloud would go and you would pack up and you'd be like, catch up with the cloud. That's where we're headed. But God says, I'm not going to do that. The cloud is gone. The pillar of fire is gone. I'll give you something that will lead you, but it won't be me. You know what Moses says? We're not moving, Lord, if you don't go with us. We're not moving if you don't go with us. Moses, you have the security that God himself is going to guide you. You know what Moses says? Lord, you guide me, because if you don't guide me, I don't what? I don't know how to lead these people. You see, I want to ask you a question. Would you say that prayer for your family? Would you say that prayer for this church? Would you say that prayer for your friends? Lord, if you don't guide me, if you don't go with me, we can't move forward. Why? Because if you move forward, you could be going the wrong way. Some people get to the place that they're fed up with their family. They're fed up with their friends. They're fed up with their church. And they're like, you know what, God? Just you and me. You guide me. I'm good. Let those people go lose themselves. Moses easily could have said that, but instead he said what? If you don't lead us, Lord, we don't move from here. Would you pray that? Would you pray that today? Would you pray that for our nation? Lord, lead us as your people so that we can lead others to repentance, to salvation, to the promises of God, to the principles of God. Could you pray that for your family? Lord, I will not mislead my children. I will not mislead my spouse. I will not mislead my parents. If you have something to lead our family in, lead in my heart, and I will be the one to share it with the rest. How about for this church? Lord, if you don't lead us, we don't move from here. We're going to close in prayer in a minute. I'm going to ask a bunch of my deacons, some of their wives or other ladies to be up here. If you want to pray with somebody and want to pray about this specifically, please come up. And let's pray.